Thank you, Jerry and Joe, and we'll see you tomorrow as the Blue Jays try to take 3 of 4 from the Texas Rangers in that battle of lefties. Right now, we Blue Jays talk it up. 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell and long distance. 1-888-666-0590. Let us start with Steve in Port Perry. Hey, Steve.
Good evening, Michael.
Good evening. Josh, welcome to the program.
And to your sidekick, Josh.
My sidekick, what?
And to Josh, too. Your producer.
Oh, Josh Goldberg. Okay, yeah. Sure. You already said hi to him before, but yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Couldn't think of a better player to come to the plate and get out of this funk, Michael. But big fan of Russell and Tulu. I just hope these guys get back on the track. But my question to you is Brooke Jacoby. As our hitting coach, last year, you know, the numbers were, he looked like a genius. And I know it's mostly on the player. But when these guys are in a funk like this, where you really only have Donaldson who's carried on from last year, what as a batting coach do you do with these guys? You don't want to tinker with their, like, what are they, I just trying to figure out what he would be saying to them, or you do nothing with them because you know they're already proven stars.
Well, you let them come to you, I think, more than anything else. You're always watching them during the games at the cage, watching video, and if you spot something, you'll say, hey, maybe, you know, this is what you were doing when you were going right, and this is what you're doing now. Maybe you want to look at that, or you watch video with them. You give them extra flips and extra whatever work they need. You help facilitate that. But there's no magic, you know, key to saying, hey, you know, coach isn't going to walk up to a player and say, hey, lift your left elbow another 3 inches, and all of a sudden he's going to go right back to what he was doing before. It takes a lot of work, and Jacoby is there beside them to help them out with whatever they need.
More on the individual to come to him than him approaching them?
I mean, it depends who it is, right? I would think, and I don't know what the relationship between Brooke Jacoby and the hitters is like, but I would think that for the veteran guys who really know what they're doing, he probably waits for them to come to him, but you never know. I mean, if he sees something that's a big deal, I'm sure he would go to them. Thanks for the call, Steve. More of your calls coming up as we continue with Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Back here at Rogers Center, the Blue Jays, 4-3 winners over the Texas Rangers in walk-off fashion. Russell Martin, the hero, in the bottom of the ninth to get Roberto Osuna his first win of the season. 2 straight bullpen wins for the Blue Jays. They're 14-15. We will continue to take your calls on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and sportsnet.ca/590. All the way to 11 p.m. Eastern, it is Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network. That's going to do it for us as far as the network is concerned. But as always, we will carry over our Blue Jays talk onto our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, sportsnet.ca/590, Rogers Radio app, Rogers Digital Cable Channel 904, all those stuff. We didn't get a real good chance to have Jays talk last night after the big walk-off, so the Blue Jays provided us another big walk-off tonight. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays are 14-15 after a tear-your-hair-out frustrating start to the season, which is pretty amazing that they're almost right there at .500 despite the fact that they have played, without question, really not good baseball over the first month of the season. Russell Martin is the hero. His second hit of the game is a fly ball over the head of Nomar Mazara in right field. Short hops the wall for the game-winning single. The Blue Jays take it 4-3. The Rangers with just 2 hits after the second inning, and it's nice to see that script flipped a little bit. Tomorrow night, the wrap-up of the 4-game series, a battle of lefties. It'll be Jay Happ against Derek Holland. We're on the air at 7 Eastern. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware, homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. Legal disclaimer brought to you by Diamond & Diamond Personal Injury Lawyers. If you've been injured in an accident, you need the right team of lawyers on your side. Lawyers who are not afraid of the big insurance companies. Call the team with a proven track record. Call Diamond & Diamond Personal Injury Lawyers today for a free consultation at 1-800-567-HURT or visit diamondlaw.ca. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Emil Delich, Jared Clarkson, and Josh Goldberg, I'm Mike Wilner. Blue Jays Talk continues. Edwin slugs one deep left field. Will it stay fair? Headed for the 500 level. It is gone. The Parrot takes a trip around the bases. Encarnacion's fourth home run of the season has tied this game 3-3. That happened with two out in the sixth inning after Jose Bautista mired in a 3-for-27, drew a walk. Edwin went deep. Tie game. Then in the bottom of the ninth, Edwin led off with a single, and his pinch hitter Ezekiel Carrera came around to score the winning run on Russell Martin's single off the short hop the wall in right field, and the Blue Jays had their second straight walk-off. They beat the Texas Rangers 4-3. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We'll take your calls this hour. We'll hear from John Gibbons. Hopefully we'll get a chance to hear from Russell Martin as well, maybe Aaron Sanchez, as the Blue Jays get the walk-off win. Before we get to another call, though, there have been a couple of questions asked on Twitter about the whole walk-off scenario. Why does Russell Martin get a single on a ball that short-hopped the wall? Should have been a double, right? Well, Russ, first of all, never got to second, so it can't be a double. But you get what is required for that winning run to score, unless the ball goes out of the park, which is why Justin Smoke's home run last night was a two-run homer and the Jays won 3-1. Had Smoke aborted his trip around the bases after Edwin Encarnacion had scored the winning run, then he would have just gotten credit for the last base he reached. But he kept the trot going and he stepped on the plate and the celebration was there. Here, Martin only needed a single. The bases were loaded. So he stopped at first. Kevin Pillar trotted into second. I was worried that he might not touch second base. Cost Russ Martin a hit if the Rangers decided to step on the bag, but he did get there, and Smoke got to third, so all he gets is a single. And to the person who tweeted, is Russ upset that he's not going to get credit for a double for that? I guarantee you, Russell Martin is not upset that that's a single. Blue Jays beat the Texas Rangers by a score of 4-3. John in Milton, you're up on Blue Jays Talk. Good evening.
Hi, Mike, how are you?
Good, thank you. Go ahead.
I just want to draw a quick comparison and kind of a positive outlook. So in the Raptors series that just happened, there's fans talking about all these concerns about, Lowry and DeRozan aren't playing well. Well, I saw it as a good thing because if they wake up, well, then that's just even better because they still won. Well, with the Jays, so many of our key players are not playing well at all, except we have a whole baseball season, which is even longer of a time for these guys to wake up. So I really see it as a positive. You're only one game under 500, 30 games in. So I don't know what the concern is about at this point.
Well, I think people like to be concerned and like to be worried. And thanks for the call, John. That was a quick hang up right there. But I agree with you completely. And I know, and it sounds homerish and super optimistic, which is why people think I'm such an optimist when I'm not. I tell you what I see in front of me. When a team is going badly, very often you'll see the bottom fall out. And people have compared this to the start of 2013. The Blue Jays were 10-21 to start 2013. They're 14-15. There is no comparison between the two. When you're going badly and you can still hang out around 500, that's fantastic. It really is, because then when things do sort of kick into gear, you run off a bunch of wins, you can put some distance between you and the break-even mark, and you're fine. And I don't have any question in my mind that the Blue Jays are going to be fine. They're on their way there. Are they there? Absolutely not. I mean, they still, you know, it looked terrible. With two out in the sixth inning, they had a run on three hits. That's not good. But they managed to win the ball game. But if you can be playing poorly and hanging out around 500, that's fantastic. And that's exactly what the Blue Jays have managed to do over the course of the first month of the season. Mike is in Brampton. You're next.
Hey, Mike. How's it going, man? So I just want to know what you thought about maybe dropping Tulo down to the ninth spot and putting Pilar in the fifth spot. And it wouldn't, in my eyes, it wouldn't be a punishment to Tulo. It would be more of a little bit of taking pressure off of him. And also, I know earlier in the season you were a fan of putting Tulo in the leadoff spot. So to me, after the first inning, the ninth spot is sort of like the leadoff spot in my eyes. And just wanted to get your idea on that.
Yeah, well, first of all, let me ask you, why do you think Troy Tulowitzki deserves to be hitting behind Ryan Goins?
No, he would be hitting behind, just to take the pressure off, because right now, because he's obviously the worst batter on the team right now. And
No, he's not. Ryan Goins is the worst batter on the team right now by a long shot over Troy Tulowitzki. But that's, you know, splitting hairs a little bit. I mean, Tulowitzki was moved down from fifth to sixth today. So it's started, right? John Gibbons wanted to switch things around so that all this pressure wasn't on Tulowitzki, that every time Bautista and Edwin did something that he had to drive in those runs that he just wasn't doing. So he got moved down to six. Now, Edwin and Jose aren't going great guns either, although Edwin now has, what, three hits in his last five at-bats, but he's still three for his last 25. Bautista's three for his last 28. So nobody's going well right now, with the exceptions of Pilar, Saunders, Donaldson. Flipping the whole thing around, I don't think it's going to work. Troy Tulowitzki's still second on this team in home runs, too. I don't know that he needs to be busted down to the nine spot. There will come a point in time at which he turns things around, but he's going to be feeling pressure regardless of what spot in the order he's hitting, just simply by virtue of the fact that he's hitting, you know, whatever it is, 162 or 148 or whatever his batting average is now, the pressure's on him no matter where he is.
Would it always be looked upon as a bad thing if somebody like that gets dropped down the lineup? Like, to me,
yes.
To me, like, let's just say he starts to pick it up within the next couple of weeks, right?
Uh-huh.
And it becomes a bonus because then he's hitting
Michael Saunders.
Yeah, Michael Saunders. Sorry about that.
That's okay. No,
Michael Saunders
it is
hitting good, and then you.
It is never not seen as a bad thing to have a perennial MVP candidate and All-Star batting ninth for you. There's no other way to put that. And you know what? I understand the frustration with Tulowitzki. I really do. But I don't think hitting him ninth is. I don't think it accomplishes what we want it to accomplish. Even though you're right. I mean, I know you're not suggesting it as a punishment. But I still don't think. I don't think it's the right thing to do, and I don't think it changes anything. But I do appreciate the call. Before we get to the next call, and we've got a few, but we have a couple of lines open, I'm sure, so get your calls in at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's hear from the skipper. Two walk-off wins in a row. And here's what John Gibbons had to say after tonight's 4-3 victory over Texas.
Gibby, did you see something different from Sanchez from the second inning on? Did he make an adjustment or anything?
No, I just think, really, I thought he settled in. He started using his changeup more, which is key. I mean, they came out swinging similarly to Oakland, you know. And they were on his fastball. Some were up, but, you know, it's a good hitting team over there. Then he started mixing in more changeups and some breaking balls. And, you know, young power pitchers, when they're young guys, a lot of times when they head out there, you know, early early part of their career, you know, they're really revved up, you know, and they tendency to maybe overthrow a little bit. And then once they settle in, you know, they relax a little bit, get, you know, break a sweat, and then they find their rhythm. So that's not unusual. But they got a good hitting team. They came out, they were on him early, so, but, you know, I mean, he could have imploded, but he didn't. So that's a big step in the right direction.
John, nice to see Russell come through with a big hit there in the ninth. Hopefully it's a sign of better things to come for him. It's been a rough start.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Russ, yeah, he needed that. We needed that, you know, more as a team. But, I mean, he's always hit. He's going to hit. But, I mean, that can do wonders for you. I don't care who you are.
Gibby, he's had the neck thing, and, you know, he's been beat up in different ways. Does he look better to you physically right now?
Oh, yeah, I don't see any sign of the neck at all. I mean, that was hindering him big time. You know, finally he calmed down, he got his treatment, all that stuff. And, yeah, I don't even think he recognizes it anymore. I sure don't see any. I mean, because while there, I mean, he couldn't move laterally or twist or any of that stuff.
Eddie had been struggling at the plate a little bit, I guess, along with some others as well. But him in particular with that two-run shot today, you're hoping that's a bit of a sign of him breaking out of that slump. He's such a streaky guy.
Yeah, oh, yeah. We hope the same thing out of Eddie. I mean, the game was just kind of a blah game at that point. You know, Kobe was shutting us down pretty good. And then, but we have some guys that can do that. We can strike back in a hurry, you know, with the long ball. So, yeah, when Eddie gets going, you know, you can ride him. You know, everybody can jump on, and he's due.
Yeah, he is, and we have seen Edwin Encarnacion carry this team on his back for a month. And, again, three hits in his last five at-bats after an 0-for-20, so he may well be coming around. And by the way, I know I say not to look at the score at the standings until the end of May, but I just want to make this point because it feels like I've taken a month of this team is awful. How can you say that it's early? And all this stuff. The Baltimore Orioles are down 7-0 in the ninth inning tonight. The Blue Jays are going to be 2.5 games out of first place in about 5 minutes. After this awful start, and they're still under 500, and they're not hitting, and they're playing terribly. All that stuff is true. 2.5 games out of first place with 133 games to go. It is so early. Brian, are you still on the DVP, Brian?
No, we're actually on Bayview now, just heading home, but I'm still on the line here.
Traffic's moving?
Yes, traffic is moving.
Lovely. Both hands on the wheel. What's up?
Okay, so going back to the Tulo thing. So yeah. I get it. He's an all-star. He's a great hitter historically. But you got runners on first and second. He's not hitting well right now. He's hitting, what, like 160? Runners on first and second, no one out. Pilar's behind you. He's hot. You two little bunts there. You got guys on second and third with one out. A fly ball scores them.
Let's not go too far there, right?
No, but that would be the thinking that you'd want to.
Right, that's the thinking,
right?
But two little bunts there doesn't mean the runners move. Right, Tulo has not had a sacrifice bunt in 5 years. He's a middle of the order hitter, who's probably. The times he's been asked to do that are exceedingly rare. So I would say there's less than a 50-50 chance that Tulowitzki executes a bunt that's good enough to leave the Blue Jays with runners at second and third and one out.
Okay.
That's
the
thing.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just like a traditionalist or something, but I just in that situation, it just makes sense. I get it. He hasn't done it a long time, but Is that something that a major leaguer should be able to do?
Whether it is or it isn't, and I think it is, I agree with you, it is, it's not. It is something that every major leaguer should be able to do with his eyes closed, but it's not something that every major leaguer can do. And so what you want to make sure you're doing, if you're trying to move runners over in a situation like that, is you want to ask a guy who is a good bunter to bunt the runners over. Troy Tulowitzki has not had a sacrifice bunt in 5 years. And I would never ask him to drop it. I mean, that you're right. That is the time. And I'm someone who really doesn't like the sacrifice bunt at all. That's when you bunt. Tie game, bottom of the ninth, first and second, nobody out. Absolutely. But you don't ask Josh Donaldson to bunt. You don't ask Jose Bautista or Edwin Encarnacion to bunt. And by the same logic, even though he's off to a bad start, you don't ask Troy Tulowitzki to bunt. I thank you for the call. 4-3 Blue Jays. They walk off the Texas Rangers on Russell Martin's game-winning single. The short hop, the right field wall. Lane is in Humboldt, Saskatchewan. Hello, Lane.
Hi, Mike. How's it going?
It's going good. Two walk-offs in a row.
I know. It's nice to see some winning momentum here.
Well, let's see. I mean, you know what? I remember in 2013 thinking so many times, all right, this is going to get him started. Okay, this game's going to get him started. All right, this is going to be the game. And it didn't really happen, so here's hoping.
Yeah. It's just the great finish to last year. It felt like we never lost, so.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's carried over into this year, and that's some of the reasons, that's a major reason for the angst of so much of this fan base. The Blue Jays won three-quarters of their games over the last third of the season last year. It really felt like they never lost. And now that they've been losing every other day, it feels like the end of the world.
It was a great run. It has been some very frustrating baseball to watch and a little bit embarrassing, but we're not really out of it yet, so there's no worry to hurry, and some of the guys are heating up. So
they're not really even really ready to begin a conversation about being out of it yet. I don't know that there's been any embarrassing stuff, maybe a few mistakes here and there, but look, it's again, no matter how many people want to say it's not early in the season, it's the 4th of May. The 4th of July is still early in the season. It's the 4th of May, and they're a game under 500 and 2.5 games out of first place. So that doesn't mean everything is fine. And it feels like I kind of have to, like, ward off these things that people are saying. And maybe it's because I see it on Twitter all the time. Saying that it's early in the season does not mean everything is fine, and it does not mean that they're playing well. Neither of those things are true. But there's so much time to overcome this not good start. And they're 2.5 games out of first place.
Trade deadline, we can do it now.
Sorry, Lane, I didn't get that, but I need to move on anyway. I appreciate the calls. Thank you. Let's hear from Russ Martin. Why not? Russ Martin, 2-for-4 tonight, including the game-winning single, which was a ball crushed to deep right field. Only counts as a single because the bases were loaded and the Blue Jays only needed one run. Here's what Russ Martin had to say after the game.
Can you take us through the at-bat there, what you were seeing, what you were looking for?
Well, it was a three-pitch at-bat, three breaking balls. Early on, he looked like he was a little erratic. You know, I was going to be patient, going to wait for a pitch to try and drive. First pitch was a breaking ball. I wasn't really looking for that. Second pitch was another breaking ball, pretty close, I'm sure, just maybe a little bit up. And then the third pitch was another breaking ball. And after seeing it three times, you get a better read. Was able to lift it and get it in the air, and the fact that it's a hit, it's a plus. But my goal was to just get it in the air and try and win the game.
For you right now, Russell, is it a sense of relief? Where you kind of walked in here like a monkey off your back?
My feel just like my last couple of games. Forget the stats. That doesn't matter to me. Just trying to win a game today. Whatever I need to do that day to help the team win is my mindset right now. So. Worked out for me today. But for me, it's never been about statistics. As long as the team wins, I'm happy. So we won two big games, and hopefully we can keep it going.
You spoke a little bit about, just a few seconds ago, about the first two innings and how you kind of kept him focused, kept on encouraging him. If that didn't happen, you two turning that around, there may not have been that ninth inning opportunity.
Yeah, well, that's him just being nice. But he did it on his own. He's starting to mature. The fact that he gave a couple runs early and was able to kind of just settle down and keep making pitches, keep us in the game. He showed some poise out there, and he's really making progress. I mean, you know, we see it almost every time he goes out there. His command's better. You know, he's using his off-speed pitches more effectively. You know, he's a special pitcher, and we're really starting to see it.
Is that the sort of game maybe a calendar year ago that gets away from him, considering the way it started over the first two innings?
I mean, you know, it's possible. But he just seems like he's more in control out there, more in control of his emotions, more in control of his mechanics, and it's paying off for him.
What adjustment did you see him make from the third inning on that maybe he wasn't doing in the first couple innings?
I mean, not you know, much of a difference, really. He just kept attacking the zone. I think early on he was maybe falling behind a little bit, and then he was able to throw, you know, strikes in better spots early in counts, and then able to use his off-speed a little bit more as the game went along.
Using that changeup a bit more, what does that do for him against left-handed hitters?
Well, when you throw that hard and you have that late movement, you know, guys have to commit a little early, and you're able to throw a changeup off that same plane. You know, as a hitter, it's really tough. You know, you have to commit to you know, one speed or the other, and it just gets guys out in front. You know, gets weak contact for him when he executes it, and today was one of those days.
Russ, was getting rid of the beard part of a superstition?
Maybe just something, just trying to change something up, you know, just to see what would happen. And so far, so good. So the mustache is staying.
Thanks, Russ. Given the struggles you've been having at the plate this year, was that a position you wanted to find yourself in the bottom of the ninth?
That's why you play the game. I mean, that's what gets your mojo going. You know, those big situations, you know, whether you succeed or you don't, it's just it's fun to be in those situations. And today, I mean, you can't have a more favorable situation. You know, you have one out guy in, you know, on third base, so you don't really need to get a hit. It takes away a little bit of pressure, and you know, I was just trying to think of driving the ball somehow, and you know, the end result is definitely, you know, I'm definitely happy about it.
Russell Martin, who had the walk-off winner tonight in the bottom of the ninth as the Blue Jays beat the Texas Rangers 4-3. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. We're taking your calls, but before we get to the next call, the guys back at the radio station, Emil Delich and Jared Clarkson, working the board, I want to ask you, can you play the last 20 seconds of that Russell Martin scrum again? And everybody listen, you'll hear Russ giving his answer, and then in the background, you hear Jose Bautista yelling, "It's the stash, it's the stash," just in case you weren't paying attention the first time. Give me those last 25 seconds again.
I mean, that's why you play the game. I mean, that's what gets your mojo going. You know, those big situations, you know, whether you succeed or you don't, it's just it's fun to be in those situations. And today, I mean, you can't have a more favorable situation. You know, you have one out.
There it was, right there, Jose Bautista interrupting Russell Martin. Tell them the truth. It's the stash. The Blue Jays having fun. They've won two in a row by walk-off. They're 14-15 on the season. They beat the Texas Rangers tonight 4-3. Daniel, in Toronto, you're up next on Blue Jays Talk. Go right ahead.
Mike, how are you this evening?
I continue to be well, thank you.
So first of all, since I only call in a few times a year, I want to make sure that I tell you that I love your show. I think that you should get a lot of credit for having such patience with the callers and the fans. I think you do your job really well, actually. So,
oh, that's swell of you. Thank you.
I know there's different opinions out there, and especially joking opinions if you listen to the fan all day like me, but that's my opinion. With regards to the Jays, you know, there's a couple things. My first point is on the talk about small ball and producing runs by using bunts or squeeze plays and things to that notion. I mean, I don't think that this team was constructed to do those types of things, and I think that people kind of have to get that out of their head and stop trying to be a major league manager that they're not. My second point, in terms of offense and talking about, you know, waiting for the offense to come, I think the offense has come from the pieces that are supposed to produce that offense, like the Jose Bautistas, Josh Donaldson's, Edwin Encarnacion's, Tulowitzki, who you said is second on the Jays in home runs. If you look at the other parts of their lineup, you know, if you're looking at these guys to hammer home runs, and score a lot of runs, they're just not going to, because they're just not those types of players. That's just my opinion. Like, I don't think that, you know, guys like Kevin Pillar, Ryan Goins, Michael Saunders, I don't know who else you want to add into that mix. Josh Tolley when he plays, Ezekiel Carrera, you want to add Darwin Barney, maybe Dalton Pompey when he comes back. But I just don't think that those guys are long ball hitters or guys who are going to produce you a lot of double base hits, like doubles or triples. I just don't think that they're just not built to do that. I mean, they're good hitters, but if you're expecting them to hit a lot of home runs and help you score a lot of runs, I don't think that that's going to happen.
I don't think anyone's expecting Ryan Goins and Kevin Pillar to hit a bunch of home runs. But, you know, I think that your view of the Blue Jays offense is a little, I mean, some serious rose-colored glasses stuff happening, right? Now, Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion, until tonight, Bautista, they contributed tonight very well. Bautista had an RBI single. He scored a run with a walk. Edwin had two hits and a home run. Going into tonight's game, Jose Bautista was 6 for his last 47, and Edwin was 1 for his last 21. That's not contributing offensively. Justin Smoke, until last night, was walking a lot but not getting any hits. Troy Tulowitzki is second on the team in home runs, but he's hitting 150. Ryan Goins is 4 for his last 56. So while, you know, I don't think it's – I think you're right that you shouldn't be expecting these guys, some of these guys, the Goinses, the Pillars, the Martins of the world, to be big sluggers, although Russ Martin did almost set a Blue Jays record for home runs by a catcher last year. It's reasonable to expect them to be hitting more than 180. And neither Martin nor Tulowitzki nor Goins, I don't think any of them are doing that right now. And that's one of the reasons this offense has been so bad over the course of the first 29 games. For the most part this year, the Blue Jays have had, at the beginning of the season, Donaldson and Bautista were the only ones hitting. Goins was hitting a bit, but, I mean, he was hitting .321 at one point. But that was based on a three-hit game. So his batting average went up from .250 to .321 in one day. And since then, he's 4 for 56. So Bautista and Donaldson for a while. Saunders, Bautista and Donaldson for a while. Now Saunders, Donaldson, and Pillar are the only ones who are hitting. Now Edwin's starting to come around. Smoke's starting to come around. Martin got a couple of hits today, and they've won a couple of games in a row. But you can't expect a team to be any kind of good when you only have two or three guys hitting at the same time. You hope that the guys who aren't expected to provide the big offense are still chipping in and doing their part, getting on base 30% of the time at least, hitting .260, .270, something like that, even with minimal extra base hits, sort of, you know, to turn the lineup over and to get things set for the big guys. That's not happening right now. It's starting to, and it's great, and once it does, look out. If the starting pitching continues to pitch the way it is, this team is going to run away with this division. But until it does, we can't say that it is. I appreciate the call, though. I do. And I appreciate all your calls, and we'll get to some more of them after the break. Blue Jays beat the Texas Rangers 4-3 in walk-off fashion. This is Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Play grounder to short, to Lewicki, to Goins, to Smoke. And Elvis Andrus bounces into a first pitch double play to make it a 10-pitch inning for Aaron Sanchez. Gives up his first hit since the second, but it is immediately erased. First pitch to Elvis Andrus, that double play ball. Aaron Sanchez, after the first two innings, was tremendous tonight. Gave up 3 runs on 6 hits over those first 2 innings and then pitched another 5 innings of 2-hit shutout, allowing the Blue Jays to come back, tying the game on that Edwin Encarnacion 2-run shot in the 6th and winning it in the 9th. Russell Martin was the hero. Blue Jays take down the Texas Rangers by a final score of 4-3. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Back to the phones we go, to the nation's capital. Mike is in Ottawa. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for putting me on, Mike. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling.
I want to go back to last night's game, the walk-off home run by
Justin Smoke.
Sure.
And particularly the post-game interview that followed. Here you have Hazel May interviewing Justin Smoke.
Yep.
All of a sudden, out of nowhere, seemingly, Ryan Goins and Kevin Pillar appear with the Gatorade containers, and
yep,
bang, they get blasted.
Well, and Smoke gets blasted.
Well, no, that's not exactly right, Mike. She got blasted as well. She
Hazel too.
She got her dress soaked.
Yep.
And
she got out of the way tonight, though.
Yeah, I got to give her credit. She's a soldier, Mike, for coming back.
That's right.
But Mike, there's no reason that should go on.
Why not?
Well, where else does it go on like that?
Well, what does that matter?
Well,
why shouldn't you be happy about a win?
Well, what happens if one of those containers falls out of the guy's hand and hits her in the face?
Then she'd be very upset. She would sue the Blue Jays, and she'd be a very rich woman.
We want to avoid that, don't we?
That has never happened in the history of these celebrations that have been going on for years.
And it's not supposed to spill on her as well, right?
Well, it's collateral damage.
Come on, Mike. Get serious. There's no room for that. In hockey, they don't have anything like that whatsoever. If there's a post-game interview, you're either hurtled into a separate area and it's a one-on-one. In football, yes, they do the Gatorade thing, but it's only to the head coach when he wins a game and there's nobody around to interview him.
Which is too bad, because really the players have so much more to do with winning the game than the head coach does. I think, you're coming off, and I hate to say this, and I'll let you answer, but you're just coming off like just somebody who doesn't want people to have fun.
Well, Mike, they had fun at home plate when they celebrated.
Uh-huh, they could have continued to celebrate.
Well, let me finish. And they could have fun in the clubhouse.
Yep.
And they could have fun in the dugout.
But there are reporters in the clubhouse, too.
The clubhouse, that's the players' area, and what happens there happens there.
The dugout's a players' area, too. That's where the interview's happening.
The thing about it is, Mike, when you stop somebody from being able to do their job properly, you're way over the line. And I'm telling you, if I was a general manager, I was Ross Atkins, or if I was the press, Mark Shapiro, and I saw that, I'd have both those guys in my office, I'd fine both of them, and I'd take the money and I'd pass it on to a wardrobe for Hazel May, and I'd create an idiot-free area where those interviews to go on.
Okay, Mike. Thank you for the call. I believe everyone who's listening to the program is very happy that you are neither Ross Atkins nor Mark Shapiro. There is nothing wrong with that. Hazel gets her dry cleaning taken care of. She knows it's coming just as much as they do. They know it's coming. It has become, at least they're waiting now. What I didn't like was that in the A.J. Burnett days, and he used to pie guys in the face, was that it was like 3 seconds into the interview. They hadn't gotten a word out yet, and he's throwing a pie in the face, and the interview's over. That's not good. The people want to hear what the players have to say. Now they're at least giving them some time, and Russell Martin finished up after he got doused. But that was very much, that's as get off my lawn a call as we've had on Blue Jays Talk. I can't believe anyone would have an objection to players celebrating a win. I'm sure Hazel appreciates you sticking up for her, worried that the Gatorade bottle's going to hit her in the face, the jug. This is a game. They won a game. They're very happy. They dumped Gatorade on a guy. I can't imagine why anyone would have a problem with that. Sam is in Hamilton. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Mike. Hey, that last caller must be a huge Hazel May fan.
Well, we're all huge Hazel May fans, for
I know,
sure.
But, yeah. Anyways, obviously great win. Obviously back-to-back walk-offs are so cool. And, before Russell Martin's at bat, I turned to my friend and said, walk-off grand slam right here. Well, I was a few feet off of grand
You were
slam.
Just a few feet, yeah.
Yeah, and, for people that don't understand why he gets a single there, then, I understand, obviously. But anyways, I'm actually surprised you didn't get a lot of tweets at the end of the game saying, Russell Martin should have suicide squeezed because this city is obsessed with bunting the last couple of days.
I did get a couple Russ Martin suicide squeeze tweets. I have to say, it is never a good idea to bunt with the bases loaded. Ever, 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 ever. Never a good idea to bunt with the bases loaded. All that someone has to do is just pick up the ball, flip it to the catcher. He doesn't have to tag a guy. Suicide squeezes are double plays when you try to bunt with the bases loaded.
Yeah. Now, Mike, you asked a question a couple of days ago. Like, why is everybody think bunting so easy? And my response is that I don't think bunting's easy. I think bunting's hard. But I think for my generation and the 20-year-old kids around Toronto that love bunting, we just have to, when we play MLB The Show, and this is a video game, when we have to play MLB The Show, all we have to do is press the circle button, and that's how to bunt. And I think that's how people think bunting should be. All you have to do is, like, it should be the most easiest thing in the world, but it's not. And I know you saying, a lot of people say, a lot of MLB players should know how to bunt, but, I mean, bunting, you don't know where the ball is going to go when you bunt. Like, it could pop fly. You can hit it on the ground to the catcher. I mean, it's not as easy as people think it is. And I think people need to relax when it comes to bunting. I mean, we have a team that hits home runs. And I have a question. Would you rather have a team that is known by small ball, like the Philadelphia Phillies or Tampa Bay Rays or the Atlanta Braves that don't hit home runs? Or would you rather have this lineup? And I'm going to choose this lineup.
Yeah, me too. I appreciate the call, Sam. Thank you as always. And I've said this like over the last decade and a half that I've been hosting this show because it's true. People love the bunt. It feels, I think people think that, you know, they're doing something to help the team win rather than just trying to get a hit, which for some reason, dropping a bunt down or stealing a base feels more like doing something than trying to get a hit. I'm not sure why that is, but I kind of get it. It's more active baseball. It feels like the manager's pushing buttons and stuff. But it's not winning baseball. Giving away outs doesn't help you win games. And in the overall, you want a team. I mean, there was this whole debate today about whether the Blue Jays live or die with a home run. And I heard it so often last year, it drove me nuts. Because the Blue Jays have guys who hit a lot of home runs. So the uninformed, who don't bother to, you know, look things up, say, oh, look at that, if they don't hit home runs, they can't win games. Can't bunt, can't steal bases. The Blue Jays had the best on-base percentage in Major League Baseball last year. The Blue Jays got out fewer than any other team in Major League Baseball last year. So they were far from creations of the home run. They did everything. They scored 200 more runs than the Kansas City Royals scored last year. Yes, they lost to them in the playoffs. No, it wasn't because they couldn't bunt. It was because they lost a six-game series. Andre in Scarborough, you're up next on Blue Jays Talk. Hello.
Hey, Mike. Just want to first reiterate what an earlier caller was saying. You do a really good job, and this is the one show that, even though I tune into The Fan from time to time, I'll go out of my way to listen to or make sure I can.
Oh, thank you.
It's great.
You should tune into The Fan all the time, though, I have to tell you.
I do when I'm driving, for sure. It's the only thing on my radio.
Like they say, you know, in the those rock and roll bumpers that some radio stations use, turn your radio to 590 and rip your knob off. That's what we want.
I force friends who are not even sports people to get into it because you don't have to know about sports to understand 590. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's very fun to disagree with most of the people on during the day. I just got two quick comments and then an idea I just wanted to throw by you.
Sure.
First comment, if you're a longtime Blue Jays fan, you really should be ashamed of yourself for panicking right now. I get it. We are playing frustratingly bad. Things aren't going the way they should be. You can see on paper how good this team can be. But like you said, we're 2.5 games out of first, and I don't think people understand how hard it is to win the AL East. I don't even understand because I don't know baseball, but it's pretty hard, I'm sure, to win the AL East.
You seem to have a reasonable understanding of such things.
Yeah, you really should. I can understand people who started watching the Jays last year. The start to this season would be really frustrating for them. They don't know better. If you've been watching the Jays for a while, you should know better.
Fair enough.
Second comment, Russell Martin, yeah, it's frustrating he's not hitting well. I don't care that much because everything else that he does is unbelievable. He's just a winner. I'm sure most teams he's been on have made the playoffs.
I think 8 of the last 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that's coincidence, but I don't think so. I think he's a very talented player in all aspects of the game. And if he gets it going, watch out.
Fair enough. And your question?
My question is, I know that Mark Shapiro, John Gibbons, and Ross Atkins are listening to this show, too.
Oh, I'm sure.
If you want Tulo to get better, why not put him in the leadoff so he gets an extra at-bat every game? I don't know.
Because you don't want to give an extra at-bat to a guy who's hitting 170.
I mean, isn't it a chance for him to break himself out of it by getting that extra at bat?
Well, you don't. First of all, you don't necessarily get an extra at bat as the leadoff man, right? Everybody today, for example, everybody came to the plate four times except for Ryan Goins. So, I mean, you're guaranteed to get at least as many at bats as everybody else in the lineup, but you're not always getting an extra at bat, and you're getting up there first. I don't think moving Troy Tulowitzki to the leadoff spot is going to get him going. And I don't, honestly, the way he's going, I don't want him in the leadoff spot. But once he does get going, then for me, if he's Troy Tulowitzki, then he's the best option up there. But again, by the time he gets his numbers to come around, Devin Travis may well be back, and he'd probably be up there. Thank you for the call, Andre. Thank you for the kind words. I appreciate it. I appreciate your take. And we definitely appreciate your listenership to our fine radio station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And by the way, I've been throwing out numbers off the top of my head, just trying to, you know, think what I imagine these guys are hitting. Troy Tulowitzki is actually hitting 160 right now. That's his batting average right now, 160. He is 16 for 100 after his 0 for 4 tonight. More of your calls coming up. But let's listen to the winning pitcher. Aaron Sanchez had a rough time for the first 10 batters he faced. Six of them got hits, those first 10 batters. And 10 batters in, he had runners at first and second, one out in the top of the second, and the Blue Jays were down 3-1. Pete Walker came out to talk to him. And from that point on, he pitched 5 2/3 innings of two-hit shutout. And he didn't get the win. He left in a tie game, but the bullpen got the win for the second straight night for the Jays as Russell Martin walked it off in the 4-3 win. Let's hear from Aaron Sanchez. Here's what he had to say after the game.
Aaron, what did you see was the biggest difference from the first and second innings?
Yeah, I just think at the beginning I just wasn't really finishing my pitches. I'm a guy that likes to stick with the heater. I felt like they weren't really doing much with it when I did. You know, in those first two innings, just a couple broken bat hits, a couple flares. Desmond beat a ground ball out that could have been a double play. But just finishing my pitches from there on out was kind of the biggest adjustment from the third on.
Is that a mechanical adjustment that you make?
Just tell yourself to get down in the zone. I think I was living, you know, in not an area where I needed to. When I started to get the ball down, things they started hitting the ground. I started changing speeds well after that, too. So, not the way I wanted it to start, but I'll definitely take the way it finished.
Russell's struggles at the plate have been fairly well documented to start the year, but how nice was it to see that your partner on this night?
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge. We were kind of in each other's ear all night. I told him before the game I wanted to finish it. Just, you know, those first couple innings, I threw a little bit more pitches than I needed to, but, man, what a great team win all around. Really, bullpen coming in and shut it down, you know. Doing their part, and it's huge for Russell too. Obviously, that's a huge hit. Obviously, like you said, he'd been struggling for him to get that big hit in a crucial spot against a team that, you know, we all know. It was a big win for us for sure.
What are some of the little things that you know, the average baseball fan might not see that he does behind the plate that kind of helps you when you're on the mound?
Just his communication, I think, in between innings. Obviously, those first couple of innings, it wasn't ideal. And he just said, stick with it. Obviously, your stuff's good tonight. Just don't be afraid of the zone. There might be some key things, too, where he says, stay on top of the ball, throw it through me, not to me. There's so many different things that kind of can go on during the course of a game. But tonight, he was in my ear the whole time. Especially after the third inning, just stay right there. And it all worked out.
You mentioned changing speeds. You went to the changeup a lot more as the game went on. Is that a feel thing or a situational thing?
I mean, they got a lot of lefties in there, a lot of good swinging lefties. So I feel like my changeup's a better offer than my curveball to some lefties at times. So that's kind of why we went that direction with it.
It worked. It worked. Aaron Sanchez praising Russell Martin and talking about the changes that he made through the course of the game. Those in-game adjustments are so important. And for a 24-year-old, I think still 23, just a fantastic restart for Sanchez after the second inning, collected himself, and wound up pitching a heck of a game. The Blue Jays beat the Texas Rangers 4-3 on Russell Martin's walk-off single that short-hopped the wall in deep right field. This is Blue Jays Talk. I'm Mike Wilner, taking your calls for another few minutes. Seamus is in Mississauga. You're next. Hello, Seamus.
Hello there, Mike. How are you?
I am well, thank you. Go right on ahead.
Okay, sorry about the misery call from Buddy there about the Gatorade.
Some people do not want to have fun times.
It's too bad you're just not allowed to hang up.
I didn't.
Great show. Love your show.
Thank you.
And I know you get a lot of dumb questions, but what is exactly a walk-off?
Well, a walk-off, first of all, there aren't any dumb questions. If you honestly don't know something and you want to know what something is, not a dumb question at all. A walk-off is the name for the event that occurs when the game ends with the home team batting. So bottom of the ninth, 10th, 11th, whatever. When the game ends with the home team batting, it's called a walk-off because, apparently, the opposing team has to walk off the field having lost the game. And it's the only point in time where the losing team walks off the field. Otherwise, in baseball, the winning team will always be the team on defense, and they'll celebrate on the field unless the situation occurs where the winning run is scored in the final at-bat for the home team from the ninth inning on. Does that help?
Yeah, great to see the Jays, the bottom of the order, starting to get going. And the Justin Smoke game there last night, that was amazing. And good to see Rusty knock one to the wall tonight.
It really was.
Yeah.
It really was. Thank you for the call, Seamus. I appreciate it. And I like it. You know what? You're a new fan. You don't know what something is? Call and ask. Should absolutely not be afraid to do that. No, there aren't any stupid questions. When someone calls up to make an assertion with confidence that is based on something that is completely not true, that's when you'll get me to make you defend it and back it up and prove it. You want to ask a question about something you don't know? If I have the answer, I'm happy to give it to you. We are headed east to Greenfield, Nova Scotia. Mike, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hello, Michael.
Hello, Michael.
Now, because of the success the Blue Jays have had recently, you will not like this topic. So
okay.
Let me begin by finding some common ground.
Okay.
As you know, my name is also Michael.
That is
now,
good common ground.
Elizabeth named me that because she thought it sounded hard. As you can probably hear, it did not work the way she wanted. Now, as sweet
no
as that may sound, this is where our commonalities end, Michael. I have a real problem with this bullpen. If you will give me 30 seconds, I'll explain to you why I feel this way.
Can you tell me why you have a southern accent if you're in Nova Scotia?
I have moved here from the south, Michael.
Okay. You have 30 seconds. You're allowed to not like the bullpen as long as, you know, your dislike of the bullpen is based on truths. So
yes,
truth me
no.
up.
Well, listen, I know you like stats and facts, so here you go. I'm going to give you some digits and documents you will enjoy.
Okay.
Now, listen to me very clearly. 2 plus 2 is 4, and 4 times 4 is 16. Now,
okay, Mike, thank you. I've had enough of this. Obviously, this is something's going on that is not right. I hope you had a good time. Let's sneak one more call in before we go. Just have to figure out who that is, and we will tell you in a second as Josh Goldberg is lining up. I mean, I know he thought that was going to be our last call tonight, and I know why, but I'm not going to end the show on that. So we may go a little bit longer than we originally anticipated on our way to 11 o'clock. And in a second, we'll find out who that next caller is. It is Andy in Toronto. Hello, Andy.
Hello, Michael. How are you tonight?
I am just as good as I was at 10:07. How are you?
Because Toronto's as good as it was at 10:07 too, okay? And I just got to say, I'll change my tune on what I was going to do, but I got to tell you that you guys at 590, Hazel May at Sportsnet, you guys are the cream of the crop, and that's why you're part of the team in Toronto here, okay?
Well, part of the sports
in Toronto, and we know what that these guys know things are going to happen like this. Buckets of Gatorade going over top of people. What do people want? You to put a strap on your belt, your baseball bat, so it doesn't fly into the stands as well. This is baseball. This is part of it. The fans are part of it. Fans aren't going to sue a batter for letting go of the bat. Hazel May ain't going to sue a player for hitting them with the thing. It's all a bunch of fun. We're here to have fun. We're here to win and have fun.
Agreed, but if Hazel's not going to sue someone for dropping a bucket of Gatorade on her face, I would on Hazel's behalf. But anyway, continue.
We're just here to win. And these things about Tootle Winski being 160 and all that, there is no I in team. The guy is there for defense, not offense. His offense is 100, or his defense is 110%.
Yeah, but he's making $22 million, and he's not making that money to hit 160.
He's there to play defense.
If they wanted to play defense, they could have.
It's going to come around.
Yeah, I hope so. But let it be said that if they wanted defense first in the middle infield, Goins and Barney would be playing second and short and making $1.5 million, and the Blue Jays would be saving $22 million somewhere else. Troy Tulowitzki is clearly here to hit. He's not hitting, but you're right. The defense has been fantastic.
You're right. We gotta have patience.
Yep.
Toronto is the patience. We've gone 50 years without the Stanley Cup. We gotta have patience in Toronto.
Yeah, it's hard to legislate patience, Andy. But yeah, it would be nice if we had more patience than 20 games into a 162 game season. The Blue Jays have played 29 games now, and they're a game under 500. They're 2.5 games out of first place. They beat the Texas Rangers 4-3 tonight. We're back tomorrow, 7:00 Eastern. Jay Happ against Derek Holland. The Blue Jays will look to win their third straight. Thanks to all of you for calling. Sorry to those of you to whom we could not get. Tom Young, Emil Delitzsch, Jared Clarkson, Josh Goldberg. For all of them, I'm Mike Wilner. See you tomorrow.